Good to see everyone. We've been gone for a week and a half. I visited our favorite state, and now we're back, recharged. I'm telling you, after vacation, I do three times more work than I would, you know, when I'm stressed out and need a vacation. All right, so if you need a vacation, take one in the summer, okay? But be back. Before I start my message today, and that was a little blasphemous, and we don't support all of that, but that's just what people think about Jesus. And my topic today is, who is Jesus to you? We are actually going to finish Book of Mark before Jesus comes, hopefully. So we're going to go faster through it. Today I'm going to talk from Mark chapter 6. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. If you're there, say amen. If you're just watching the screen, say amen. Amen. Okay, Jesus left that part of the country and returned to with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. Okay, the next Sabbath, notice Jesus did a lot of ministry on the Sabbath. For them it was Saturday, for us it's Sunday. Most of his ministry took place on the Sabbath. Amen. And the next Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were very amazed. They asked, where did he get all the wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then, watch, from where does he get this power? Look what they say in verse 3. Verse 3, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. Son of Mary, he's a construction worker, right? The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live among us. Now, there's a false teaching out there that Jesus was the only son of Mary. And that Mary was virgin and she never had any more children. Well, what do we read here? Jesus had four brothers. One of them wrote Book of James. How many of you know Book of James in the Bible? That's the first brother. The brothers didn't believe in him. Okay? He also had sisters. That's what this scripture says. Let me show it to you. And the brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except his own hometown and among his not among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ever passed on a highway through state lines? Like going from South Dakota to Minnesota? Or coming back, you know, as we were traveling, we drove to Florida. And as we were traveling, we saw many of these signs. Welcome to Iowa. Welcome to Mississippi. Welcome to Florida. And a lot of times it would say, welcome to, let's say, South Dakota, home of, like, John Thune. In Arkansas, there's used to be a sign that says, welcome to Arkansas, home or birthplace or place of President William Clinton. Okay? In Illinois, how many of you know what Illinois is known for? Lincoln. Yeah, the place of Abraham Lincoln. Now, why do they have these signs? Why do they have these signs telling you about this? Isn't it enough to say, welcome to Illinois? Because they honor their own people. They're proud of them. Illinois is also President Obama's, state where he was from, of course, Hawaii, but that's where he got his, some of you birthers. But we honor people from our own place. However, when Jesus came to his own town, his hometown, what did they do? They ridiculed him. They shamed him. They said, who do you think you are? The thing I've noticed that although we honor some people we don't know who became famous or successful, we don't like to honor people we were close with, grew up with, and who became successful. Have you ever heard a person say something like this? This name a famous person and they say, I know him, I grew up with him, I went to school with him, he's not all that. And the whole world could be honoring that person. The whole world could be excited about that person. And here's somebody who is close to him, family, dishonoring. Jesus said a prophet is without honor in his own hometown, among his family and his friends. What's up with that? What is up with us saying, who does he think he is? Don't we believe the giftings of God upon people? Don't we believe that God can anoint somebody to do something great? I remember when I became a pastor and I came home and they didn't even ask me to say grace, you know? And I'm like, Mom, you wanted me to be a Christian all of your life. And here now I became a pastor and followed the footsteps that I thought you wanted me. And now you're like, oh, you're not all that, you know? And other people are blessed by this ministry and lives are being changed. But my mom looks at me and you know what? I stopped trying. Because the words of Jesus are true. He says this, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown. So if you're trying to prove yourself to your mama, it's not going to happen. Just relax. If you're trying to for your mom to worship you, you're not Jesus, first of all. But even his mom didn't worship him. So stop trying for people to worship you, people who know you. Maybe people who are far from you will praise you and honor you, but not people who are close to you. You know that God had to take Abraham out of his own hometown and take him somewhere else to make him a great person. Do you know that God had to take a person like Moses and put him in Egypt away from his people so he can go and back and help his people? Do you know that God takes somebody like Joseph, takes him out of his comfortable place where his daddy loves him, buys him cool color, rainbow color shirts, all right? And he takes him away, raises him up in Egypt, as a prince of Egypt, then uses him to be a blessing to his family. But I thought Jesus wanted me to go back. Pastor Alec, 2 weeks ago, you preached a message that Jesus wanted me to go and tell my family about him. Maybe I shouldn't. Do you remember the demon-possessed man I preached 2 weeks ago? What did Jesus tell him? Go home, tell your friends of what God has done. That's all he wants you to do. He wants you to go home, tell them what he has done for you, invite him with you to church, get him saved, but that's it. Don't try to be all spiritual with your family. They won't accept you. You'll get frustrated. You'll get bitter. You won't want to go to turkey dinners and they won't like you and you won't like them. So just remember, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown, among his own family and friends. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me, guys. Put it up on the screen. What did they do to him? They scoffed him. Okay, number one. My translation says, he's just a carpenter. He's a construction worker. Now, the whole Judea, the whole Samaria, the whole Middle East is talking about Jesus. That's all they were talking about for 3 years. Comes to his own hometown. What do they say about him? He's a construction worker. He's a tree trimmer. He's nothing. We know him. He's son of Mary. Possibly illegitimate son. From a Roman soldier. Maybe from Joseph. And she loved him so much, she said he was the son of God. And he believes it now. Who does he think he is? Next thing he says, we know his brothers. He has four brothers.
They don't believe in him.
How many of you, if you had a brother and he said he was a son of God, you'd be a little bit suspicious? You'd be like, what? More like the devil, not the son of God. You know how we are with our brothers, especially first and second. His sisters live among us. His sister, we know her. What's her name? Mary Junior or whatever. And she married a guy with one eye. We know them. They're poor just like us. Yeah, he sounds weird. He's got all this wisdom. He's got all this power to heal. He casting out demons. He's walking on water. He cleansed the lepers. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Andre preached last week. He said what? He raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. But when he comes to his own hometown, they get offended at him and they refuse to believe. What's the problem with that? What is the result of that? Do you want to know? The result of that, verse 4. Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own town. Meaning, the result was that Jesus was dishonored. He felt dishonored. Number one, he felt dishonored. Who was he dishonored by? Guys, if you can put New Living Translation, that's what I'm doing, so we can have the same. Or give me another Bible, that's fine. A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. So who did Jesus felt the greatest dishonorment coming from? His relatives and his family. You're wondering, why don't they accept me? Maybe you've made something. Maybe you went to college and they didn't. And you're like, I went to college. I can, you know, tell you something new. And they're like, no, we don't want to hear that. You know, I've made it. I became successful in business or in whatever. And I can help you get out of poverty. And they said, no, you're not that good. There's something wrong with you. That's the only reason you made it. That's the only reason you're successful. There's something wrong with you. What was the result of their unbelief? Verse 5. He couldn't do miracles among them. Let's read that. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on few sick people and heal them. Now, placing his hands on few sick people is a big deal. If I was sick, I'd be like, thank you, Lord. But guess what? That was the least what Jesus wanted to do. Do you see that? A lot of times we make healing the greatest thing that Jesus wants to do. No. And healing is important to Jesus. He wants to heal people. But listen, he wanted to do something greater in his hometown. And he couldn't do it. Let me read it again. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on few people and heal them. What was Jesus' plan for his hometown? What was this mastermind thinking? He was thinking, I'm going to do something great for these people. And all I can do is heal them. What are you expecting from Jesus? Is healing the best he can do? Is casting out demons the best he can do? How about changing life? How about delivering you from the addiction? Is that the best he can do? Listen, there's so much more that he wants to do, but he can't. A lot of people ask me this question. If God is good, then how come so many people are suffering in the world? Because they don't believe, they don't allow him to do it. Son of God, who could do anything? I bet he could break their will and give him a miracle anyway. But what would that do? Do you see what I mean? You see how powerful faith is for Jesus. Son of God couldn't do. Not that he couldn't. He just wouldn't do because of their unbelief. He's not going to break your will. He's not going to break your resistance and say, you don't want it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Satan will do that. Satan will say, you don't want this sickness? I'll still give it to you. God is not like that. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You heard that? Right? He is knocking gently at the door. And when you open, he will come in and do the work in you, like the work he did for me and my family. He wants to do greater things than healing. Hallelujah. He was amazed at their unbelief. He's Son of God. His fame spread throughout the country. He's doing impossible things, telling the storm to be still. And here he comes to his town. It's like Santa Claus is coming to town, you know. This is like Jesus coming to town. And he's bringing, what did he? He had works he planned to do. And because of their unbelief, just laid his hands on few people, and that was it. The way you respond to Jesus will determine, point number one, what he can do in your life. How do you respond to Jesus today? Who is he to you? You know, a lot of people in the South and a lot of people here in the North, we make Jesus like in this little video clip. What's that Peter guy's name? What's that show called? Family Guy. Jesus is just a cultural joke for somebody. It's like we grew up with Jesus and it's like he's just Jesus, you know? Some say he's a good man. Some say he's a good moral teacher. Some say he's a prophet and things like that. But I wrote a few things. Great moral teacher. People say this. A lot like other great teachers. Buddha, Muhammad, Gandhi. You know, he's just another teacher. He's a very peaceful, spiritual, well-centered man, one lady said about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Some say he's a great healer, but not God. Some say he's a prophet, but not God. Jesus is a part of God, but not God. Like we all are part of God, right? All part of this big, great spirit, but not God. He's a great social worker who takes the causes of the poor, but not God. He's all about love and compassion and doing good, man, but not God. A man who reached nirvana and he taught others how to do the same. A man through meditation became God, like all of us. If we meditate long enough, if we live a good life, then we become God. There's a lot of ideas about Jesus out there. You know the oldest lie in history? Is that you can be like God. You want to guess who said that lie first? Lucifer said that to Eve. She said, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God, knowing the knowledge of good and evil. You're asking why there's so much evil in the world? Because we already had good. Adam and Eve were placed in a place called good. Eden. But no, the devil says, you need to know evil too. So guess what? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Because our ancestors, our great, 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 great parents disbelieved God, that he knew what was good for them, and believed the enemy of God, Satan, Lucifer, to know evil. Why would we want to know evil? Eve, did you think about it? Adam, did you think about it? No, you'll know knowledge of good and evil. Oh, evil must be good then, because I don't know it. I want to know evil. Well, now we know evil. That's why there's so much suffering and pain in the world. But one day, that pain will stop. One day, Jesus Christ will come and reign. And there will be, God will wipe every tear. This is not it. This is not over. This state and condition of our nation, of our world, is not how it's going to be. Jesus has a better plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The truth is not that people become God. The truth is that God becomes man and dwells among us. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. Give me a few more minutes. Who did Jesus then said that he was? You know, if we want to, many people have many different opinions of who Jesus is, but who did he said he was? And I want to read this to you. He said he was creator before Abraham was. Let me read it to you. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. That's Jesus' word. Jesus said he was equal to God. The Father and I are one. Once again, the people picked up stones and tried to kill him. Jesus said, At my Father's direction, I have done many good works. For which one do you want to stone me? Listen to this. They replied, we're not stoning you for good works, but for blasphemy. You, a mere man, claim to be God. So what did Jesus claim to be? God. To see Jesus is to see God. Listen to this. Jesus shouted to the crowd, if you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you have seen the one who sent me. He said that he's their Lord. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And there's many more claims that Jesus made about himself to be God. Now, we got a problem with that. And I'll show you where the problem lies. Jesus' claims are either true or false. Would you agree? Amen. If false, then he is the most despicable con artist, liar, and deceiver. Why? He's asking you to pray to him. Don't call him a good teacher. If he's not God, then he's not a good teacher. He's a liar. He's asking you to pray to him. In my name, you shall ask the Father. He's asking you to confess your sins to him. If that's a good teacher, and if he's not God, then that's a problem. He's asking you to worship him. He's asking you to give some of your money to him. He's asking you to follow him, forsake all else. He's asking you to give your life for him. So if he's a good teacher and he's not God, then I have big problems with that. Some of the demands he puts on us are crazy. If he's not God, then he has no right to ask us this. Amen? If he's not God, then he's the worst human being who ever lived in the history of the world. Don't call him a good teacher if you don't believe that he's God. He doesn't deserve to be called a great moral teacher if he's not God. He's a con artist. He doesn't deserve his name to be put among the great ones like Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and other people. C.S. Lewis said this. This is so good. Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. He's either mad, bad, or God. Don't say that he's just a good moral teacher. But if he is who he said that he is, if Jesus is God, what I believe he is, then he's the only one who can forgive sin. He's the only one who can save. He's the only one you can confess your sins to. He's the only one who deserves your worship. He's the only one who you can give up your life for. He's the only one who can give you the life to the fullest. He's the only one who can give you eternal life. Give him glory. So we're faced with one big question. Who? Jesus said this to his disciples. First he says, who do people say that I am? And they said, he's a prophet. You know, like our people. Like these people over here. But then he asked them, and this is the question I'm going to ask you. He asked them in Mark. Let's put the scripture, guys. Mark 8:29. Yes, he asked his disciples, who do you think that I am? Peter replied, you are the Messiah, anointed one. Let's put the next one, verse 30. Well, that's not the one I'm looking for.
Peter answered him, look at me.
Don't look at there.
Peter answered him, you are the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, Son of a living God. And then Jesus said this to him, flesh and blood did not reveal to you this, but my Father who is in heaven. So the question is before us all today. Who is Jesus to you? This will determine what he can do for you. He doesn't just want to come into your life and just so you can be branded as I'm a Christian. No, he wants to do things in your life. He wants to change your life. Bible says, those who are in Christ are a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. Who is Jesus to you? Peter said, you're the Son of the living God. I say, Jesus is the creator of the world. He's the bright and morning star. He's the first and the last. He's God incarnate. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's all powerful. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. He's the beginning and the end. He's substitution for our sins. He's life to the fullest. That's who he is. He's God. He's the creator of the universe. If he's false, then we should call him a con artist, liar, despicable man who deceived so many people. But if he is God, then we should bow down and really worship. You shouldn't be, after this service, you shouldn't be kind of in the middle, because there is no middle. It's either you're for him or against him. It's either you're hot or you're cold. It's either you choose blessing or cursing. You choose this day. It's before you. Are you missing God's greatest works in your life? Because of you, your view of Jesus is incorrect. Maybe your view of Jesus is religious. Maybe he is your parents' God, but not your God. Maybe your religious view makes you want to do more to please him. And you always try and doing good works to feel right with him. Listen, it's not because of your works. The only way God accepts us is because of the great exchange. Just imagine this, our sins, my sins, present, past and future, are laid on him on the cross. And his perfection, he's a sinless God, is laid upon me. That's what great exchange is. You deserve to be in prison for life. We deserve to spend eternity in hell. But guess what? Because of him, he went to hell for us. But hell couldn't hold him. Now, if you go by yourself to hell, the hell will be able to hold you very easily. The devil will keep you there for eternity. He won't let you go. But he couldn't keep Jesus because he had no sin. And just imagine, he took the sin of the world. My picture is this. Imagine millions of bees are stinging you. Okay? Imagine that. Where there's no more flesh showing. It's all the stings of bees. I kind of imagine that. I like to put that picture. Jesus took all that and more. I don't know. He must have been a huge, because all the sins of the world, that's a lot of stings. You couldn't see him. We went to hell. He was so heavy. He dropped there like a concrete block. Satan was happy. He said, there's no way he's getting out. Look how much sins he took on himself. When Jesus got there, because he didn't sin himself, he was able to shed all that. He's able to leave all that there. And Bible says God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. I was supposed to be the one who go there. And I couldn't shed my sin because they were my sin. But he could because it wasn't his sin. It was my sin. Acts chapter 4 says if Satan knew what Jesus did on the cross, he would never have crucified him. It was the greatest defeat ever. The greatest plan ever. And now, I'm a new creation. I don't have to do anymore. Yes, I want to do better, but I don't have to do anything else. It's all done. If I believe that his life is mine and my life is his, then I'm pretty good before God. Now, before you, you see my mistakes. Amen? I see your mistakes. But when God looks at me, when God looks at you, he doesn't see it. He sees the righteousness of Jesus upon you. Do you get this? This is the greatest news. Who is Jesus going to be to you after this? Don't confuse it. Don't be the person who says, yes, he's a good moral teacher. If that's all he is, that's bad. Do you see why? Do you see why?